We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Keisha.
Hey, Keisha, get it off your chest.
DJ Ellie, am I live? I don't want to be loud because I want to talk to you about something. I'm being evicted from my apartment, and I don't want to be putting my business out there over the air.
Where you live?
I live in Jersey, and I DM'd you, and I can provide you all my documentation.
Okay, hold on, just hold on. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. It's Jermaine out of Atlanta. How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, get it off your
Jermaine.
Chest.
What's going on, ye? Hey, fam. I want to give a happy birthday shout out to my grandma's, man. She turned 93.
Wow.
Also want to give a happy birthday shout out to Dawn, my sister. I love you, my big sister out of Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And another birthday shout out to my other sister, Shamika Walker. Love you too, boo.
You a real family man.
Yeah, man. All their birthdays were the same week, so I wanted to knock them all out in one shout and send positive vibes. It's Friday. God bless. Love the show.
All right,
and
thank
drink
you, bro.
Barmaid vodka, lemonade vodka. Love y'all.
Hello, all who's
right,
this?
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
Yeah, this is Johnny from South Hill, Brooklyn.
What's up, Johnny? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, first things first, I want to talk about you, man. DJ Envy. Every time you introduce the Breakfast Club, you sing your name out. DJ Envy. You got to push that out there, bro. Another thing, Charlamagne, I'm glad you start bleaching, baby. I'm glad you loving your skin back. You know what I'm saying? I'm loving it. Black man, baby.
So you think that you can reverse the process of bleaching? You're also smart.
I mean, you never know, baby. You stop bleaching, they go back to normal. You know, Jamaicans, they do all the time. When they
No, they don't. Once you bleach and you ruin them pigments is ruined forever, baby. So, you know.
I'm glad. Anyway, another thing, the content and how y'all be talking in the morning. I know these kids, they get up in the morning before they go to school. They listen to y'all program. Y'all got to stop these penis talks, man. It's getting crazy between both of y'all. I know y'all married. But come on, baby. The content
what
got
you,
the game.
What kind of hip-hop do you listen to in the car with your kids?
Actually, when it comes to hip-hop, I kind of change it to like a Caribbean station or news. You know, I don't really try to get into the... But I can't avoid it. That's what it is.
I'm glad you know that. You can't avoid it. Penis.
My goodness. Hello, who's this?
Angel.
Angel, what's up? Get it off your chest.
Hey, I'm just fake mad right now because when you guys have Humble the Breakfast Club, I can never get through. But... Charlamagne, you need to start getting to work on time, man. I look forward to that. Yo. That's like my morning coffee, man. What's up?
It's crazy how no matter how many times I tell y'all my contract says 6:05, y'all just won't believe me.
Oh, we don't believe you, but please, man.
Yeah, we don't.
All right, thank you, brother.
Angela Yee.
Yes,
Angela
sir.
Yee, thank you for being on time every single day. Asha, have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you. I try
on
my
time
best.
Every day?
Not every time, but you know
you
what?
Do better.
You're on time today, though. You better than Charlamagne.
Can I be late sometimes?
Sure.
You have been.
Barely. I think things happen, but it shouldn't be every day.
I'm not late every day.
Get your contract changed to 6:05 like me.
Rachel!
Good morning.
What's up, Rachel? Get it off your chest.
Charlamagne, I definitely agree with you. My contract starts at 6:05, too.
I don't know. Hey, salute to us.
Y'all are crazy.
605 gang.
So basically, I just want to say good morning. I love you guys and give a shout out to my boyfriend, Tremaine.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to ask, you guys talk about Nicki Minaj a lot in your rumor report, but you guys don't play her music. Why don't you play her music?
Well, I have control over what I talk about in the rumor report, but we don't program the music on the station.
What song should we be playing? Well, I don't play music neither. I'm just asking, what song should radio be playing?
I mean, she has a lot of new songs out with Chance the Rapper. She remixed the Baby song. I mean, I just
that's hard.
Hear her song in the mixes or anything. I would just love to hear her more.
All right. Hello, who's this?
AZ.
Hey, what's up? Get it off your chest.
Hello, good morning, DJ MV, Angela Yee.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so... A couple years ago, I was living with my ex-boyfriend, and we had a light door in my name. I happened to move out, but I kept it in just for kind of my heart. I kept it in my name.
Mm-mm-mm.
Of course, he didn't pay the bill. So now I can't get the lights in my name. So now here, 2 years later, I ran down to him, and me and his girlfriend had got into an argument over the situation. Remind you, I was arguing with him. But she wanted to jump in. First of all, the reason why he owed me this is not because I wouldn't have sex with him while he was with her. So for her to come at me, I'm like, my girl, you better thank me because if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have your boyfriend right now.
And you wouldn't have had no lights.
Exactly. Like, so, thank you.
So who paying the light bill now?
I don't have, magically, I have lights. I don't know how. But
magically.
I can't get it in my name. And it's crazy. They're like, how are you going to do this to me? I just got a child and all that. And that's my son. I was doing something nice to you, and because I want to have sex with you because you had a girlfriend.
Can I give you some advice?
You going to pay for a light bill?
No, I'm going to give you some advice.
Oh.
Okay. He's never going to give you that money back.
Nope.
So no matter how much you try to harass him about it, all it's going to do is be stressful for you. So you just have to chalk that up as a loss and figure out how we're going to move on and move forward past this, because all you're doing is putting some more stress and burden on yourself. You have to chalk it up and chalk him up as a loss, and he's a loser.
Have a good one, mama. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Dre.
Hey, what's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Man, I'm just happy to be up this morning, man.
You and me both, brother.
Yeah, man, you know, just thanking the Lord and shouting out my family, my wife and my kids. As long as we keep going, on my way to work this morning. Y'all have a blessing.
You have
you
a good
too,
one,
my brother.
Hello, who's this?
This is Jules Gems 100.
Hello, I can't.
Jules Gems 100.
Get it off your chest. You sound like a cigarette.
It's early. I didn't have tea yet.
Well, what's up, mama? Get it off your chest. You having a great day so far?
So far, it's a great day. So many blessings. I do have a jewelry business. It's called Jules Gems 100. But every single day, I think about my brother that is in jail because of police brutality over for 10 years.
He's in jail because of police brutality? How'd that happen?
He was about 15 years old, and he was jumped by police. They took him to jail. They had him sign papers, and he didn't even have his parents with him.
Damn.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
So they basically forced him to confess to something that he didn't do.
Correct.
Gotcha.
That is
I'm
awful.
Sorry about that, mama.
And we can see how that can happen. We've seen it happen many times. That's awful.
I even went to go visit him, and the police wouldn't let us visit him.
Is that illegal?
He was and he was over jail for 10 years.
Man, well, I'm so sorry, mama.
Well, I'm glad you heard my story, though, and my brother's story, so I'm very happy about that.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling to vent with us this morning.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Hello, who's this?
This is April.
Hey, April, get it off your chest.
I want to spread some positivity this morning. I want to thank the Breakfast Club for getting me through my past 3 years. I work in Arkansas, Trump country. Not a lot of people look like me. So just want to thank you guys for getting me through the past 3 years.
So basically, you're saying we're the only black people you get to hear from every day.
Basically, that's the reason why I'm listening.
Basically.
To
y'all. Thank you.
So, that black effect is real.
I decided that I needed to make a move to get up out of there. and I finally found a way out. It's a very toxic work environment, so I'm still working on my business until I can afford to move on.
Okay, Mama. We'll keep working, all right?
All right. So you guys visit my Instagram at sempack.com. Angela Yee, I would love to send you some samples. I created a feminine emergency kit for menstruating people. You know, sometimes it happens.
Yes, girl. I've had plenty of emergencies.
So I would love to send you some samples. Check out my Instagram at Sempack or my website at www.sempack.com.
Thank you, Mama. Hello, who's this?
It's Cognac Jack calling from Detroit.
What's up, bro?
What up, Doc?
What up, Doc?
I'm mad at people. They messed my data up. My daughter can't even go on YouTube.
Oh, they cut the internet off.
The internet working a little bit. I was trying to, you know, black man don't cheat. What's up, Charlie Man?
Black men don't cheat. Hey, question, do you love the D?
I love the D, but I don't know what D you're talking about.
What do you mean? Why you got to add something to it? Why I'm talking about Detroit?
No, I'm saying, hey, I be trying to go on Pornhub. It don't work either. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of hard for a brother. You know what I'm saying?
Are you more concerned about Pornhub or your daughter using the YouTube to watch her cartoons, bro?
Like both.
Yeah, both of y'all got to be entertained. I understand.
Goodbye, man. All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
One of the owners
of Brooklyn Chop House.
Yes,
also
indeed.
A name that rings bells in the music industry.
For a long time.
A friend of all ours, Don Poo.
What up?
You just mentioned in the Cameron song the other day. Cameron was saying thank you because you gave him some money when he needed it.
Yeah. So back in the days when, you know, when Cameron was first coming out, I recognized that talent. Mm-hmm. And I was actually trying to sign him, but, you know, I was late to the game. Mm-hmm. He had already signed his deal. So I said, you know what? I'm developing another artist. You know, can you help me, you know, do a few records in the studio? So he said, I bet. So him and Jim Jones came through. And they helped me and develop this hot record. We did this record, Baby, 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 and mm-hmm. a couple other joints. And, you know, I recognized them first. So, you know, I was shocked when I heard it. I was like, oh.
That's nice.
They remember.
That's crazy. Ooh. Yeah, he shot the video.
Who was the artist?
Pretty Boy. It was actually
Gav.
Shout out to Gav.
Love Gav.
You turned Cam on to the franchising business, too.
Yeah,
I heard.
He was inspired by a lot of stuff that I was doing. So mm-hmm. he was like, you know, let me try a couple of things, too. So mm-hmm. that was dope.
I feel that because, first of all, let's be clear, Don Poo is from Brooklyn.
Absolutely. Brooklyn,
and represents
what up?
Brooklyn to the fullest and has a great musical background.
Runs through my veins.
Fine name Foxy Brown.
Absolutely.
At an early age. Talk about Foxy because she was really young. I remember when she first came on the scene with LL Cool J.
Absolutely. So shout out to Gav and Anton. So I used to have this barbershop called Moods in Brooklyn, and a lot of artists used to come through.
You cut hair or you just owned the barbershop?
No, I just owned the barbershop. Okay.
I had a few things going on.
So I was
you know what they say about people that own barbershops?
Yes, you know what that is. Okay. Trying to hide some money.
Jesus Christ. Y'all going to incriminate the man like
30 years ago, man.
Come on, it's over.
Don't mean nothing.
It's 30 years ago.
It's 30 years ago.
So, you know,
he's
I'm trying
now.
To. Yeah, I'm here now. So, yeah, we had the barbershop and Biggie used to come through and, Shine used to come through, and then a lot of people from the neighborhood used to get their hair cut, so they recognized I had this affiliation with a lot of artists, and then I was on the road with Biggie, really, you know, cutting my teeth in the game, learning the management game, mm-hmm. you know, supporting the management team by running with Big, and then became a friend with him, and then, you know, Ant and Gav was like, yo, why don't you check my sister out? So I, you know, listened to her, and I said, you know what, we're going to rock. So we, you know, did some demos, and then next thing you know, we got our break on LL's record, I Shot Ya. And then, you know, that blew up, and then, you know, Bidding Wars began, and then she ended up getting a deal. We did this record with Jay-Z, Ain't No. We toured for like, we went on a weekend tour every weekend. It was Jay, me, her, our team, Irv Gotti, Damon Dash was just rocking. Mm-hmm. The record blew up, and then she put out an album, and the rest was history. She blew up.
What did it take to make a superstar back then compared to, like, today's time?
Well, it was a little different back then. We didn't have the social media, so it was a lot of mixtapes. It was a lot of, you know, doing verses on other people's records. We did a couple of verses. We did this joint with Case, Touch Me, Tease Me. We did a couple of records, and then those records turned into videos, and then the next thing you know, we were out there, and, you know, she could spit. She was different. She had that, you know, tone. And then, you know, next thing you know, we just blew up, put out the album, and went platinum. And
whatever happened with Foxy, though? Like, because, you know, she's... She had that. She had a great album.
Absolutely.
And she had another album that came out, and then it just seemed like just things just dwindled off.
Yeah, she kind of, you know, she was doing her thing for a while. She did actually put out three albums. And then, you know, she's a mom now. Shout out to her and Baby C. And, you know, she just, you know, fell back a little bit, you know? And, you know, she had a issue with her hearing. So she just kind of fell back. But, you know, hopefully she's making a, you know, we're going to see or hear from her soon.
You still keep in contact with her?
Yeah, I speak to her from time
to time. I see her brother still be at the restaurant, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Gavin and, yeah, they always come through and support. So they've been big supporters as well.
That means a lot when you still have great relationships with people, I think, who you came up with in the game. Because we see people fall out all the time over things, but I see you all the time still rocking with the people that you've been with for decades.
Yeah, I think that's just a testament to my relationship with different people in the game. And people that are not in the game. So, you know, it's just good to have those relationships because you just never know when it's going to parlay into something else.
You know what? You know what I thought about just now, even when it comes to artists? Like, I think the reason, like, a Foxy Brown could still be mentioned today and people still recognize her is because of all that hand-to-hand y'all did back in the day. Like, actually going to meet people and touch people. I don't think you can develop that connection with social media.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was a little different back then because we actually had to go on a roll and touch everyone versus... You're making a post and then everyone's seeing it, you know, at the same time. You reach a lot of people faster, but you're right. The connection and touching people and going to London and getting on London radio and doing all those things was, you know, it was a more personal connect when it came to, you know, artists and then, you know, individuals in the music business.
Now, you've always had an entrepreneurship spirit. I want to know where that came from because, like you said, you had the barbershop. You also had the club in Brooklyn.
Absolutely, Club Rain.
Club Rain, which was infamous. I remember going there, and I actually even DJed there when I used to halfway DJ.
Absolutely. I remember you coming through there. But, you know, a lot of my, you know, a lot of my inspiration came from my parents. You know, I watched, you know, watched them. Even though they weren't entrepreneurs, but, you know, I watched how they worked, you know, saved up and did what they had to do for their family, for our family. And then at the same time, at the age of 12, I was packing bags in the supermarket. So I always wanted to make a little extra change, and that's why I was making change, technically, back in the days. And then, you know, I watched Puff do his thing. I had a lot of inspirations and a lot of images of, you know, business owners and entrepreneurs earlier on. And I said to myself, you know what? That's kind of what I want to do, start my own business, do my own thing. You know, from what I grew up with, I didn't have a lot of them, but I had a few. You know, there was a few business owners I knew. There was, you know, the negative guys. It was the street guys that I kind of identified with earlier on. But at the end of the day, you know, it was, you know, the business people I respected and, you know, took that energy and, you know, always wanted to own my own business.
So what came first, the music or the club?
The music came first. So I had the barbershop first, then I got into the music business after that, and then I end up opening a club later on, like 5 years after that. And then
that's a tough business, by the way, the club.
Oh, very tough. I got out, I was in and then out, but we had a good run for about a year. Shout out to my partner Diamond, rest in peace to him. That was my partner in the club. And
what year was this?
This was 2003 to 2007.
And you could see anybody in there. And this is like a hot Brooklyn joint. Lil Kim, Maino, Raekwon, just random on random nights.
Absolutely. Everybody come through, show love. So it was a good little run. And then after that I started to get into more of the franchising business.
All right, we got more with Don Poo. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Don Poo, owner of Brooklyn Chop House. What happened with the firm? Were you involved with, did you create the firm group? Was that your idea?
It wasn't my idea, but I end up being a part of it. So that was Nas, Foxy, AZ, Nature, they kind of, and Carmega, they kind of, you know, got together and formed it. We just, so you know, were the executives behind it. You know, Steve Stout.
Yeah, I remember seeing your name on the...
Yeah. We helped put the whole thing together because every artist was signed to a different label. So it was a little difficult to kind of, you know, put the album together, but it ended up being on Columbia, and then we all executive produced it and put it together, and it came out with the, you know, under the tutelage of, you know, the great Dr. Dre. Mm-hmm.
Was that difficult?
Yeah. It was definitely a process navigating through all the politics of all the labels, because all those artists were hot. So I think every artist, every label wanted to have that album on their, you know, on their label.
Right.
So, you know, but Nas was kind of like, you know, the, you know, the leader of the group. So, you know, it ended up kind of going through.
That had to screen your relationship with Hov at the time too, right? Because of Hov and Foxy's relationship. Because I always heard that Hov didn't necessarily agree with Foxy being a part of the firm.
Yeah, because so at first they were talking about when at one point Foxy, when she first came out, she was really hot. So there was talks of, you know, like a Bonnie and Clyde album, you know, it never really materialized. But then she also had a relationship with Nas, right, from, you know, earlier on. And they decided to do this. They talked about doing this album, but then it actually, you know, came to light. So, yeah, and then, you know, Nas and Jay didn't really see eye to eye. But, you know, it was... Foxy was kind of like that hot artist that, you know, both teams kind of, you know, wanted to, you know, work with. And, you know, she did big records with both of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, so, what about your relationship with Mary? You helped Mary with her.
Yeah, yeah. I actually was executive at MCA. And, you know, I formed a relationship with Mary through working with her on a couple of albums while I was there. And we became great friends. And even on the outside after I left, still to this day, we, you know, we do deals together, work together. It was great working with her. Co-executive producer. She's the executive producer, by the way. Great legend. Mm-hmm. So it was just like a blessing to be able to work with her and be able to have some success with her on that No More Drama album back in the days. It was, you know, took me to another level.
You signed Shine too, right?
Yeah. So what happened was Shine was coming out of a barbershop, and he was like, yo, you Foxy manager? I'm like, yeah, who wanna know? I'm like, yo, I'm Shine. And he's like, and I'm nice. So he pulled out the black notebook and starts spit like just rhyming and spitting like for 2 hours. So I'm like, oh, you're ill. I need to sign you right away. So
you had nowhere to go, huh?
Huh?
You had nowhere to go that day, huh?
Oh, no. I didn't move.
Like, but did you
think he had me like stuck.
Did you think he sounded like Biggie? Because I remember when he first came out, people used to be like, who is this?
Absolutely. His tone was, you know, and it was right. It was a little after, you know, Biggie had passed. So his tone was similar. His style's a little different, but that tone, he had that, like, that deep tone. So I was like, bro, you're nice. So he was like, yo, what we doing? So I ended up, you know, signing him to my production company, and then I did a deal with Diddy, with Bad Boy, and then the rest is, you know, history.
That didn't, you had no reservations being that he sounded like Big, and Big was your man? And
I did at first, you know, I didn't, and everyone did at first, but his style, I just knew he wouldn't be like him, right? His whole style, his whole movement, his whole, you know, his swag was totally different than what Biggie was. And, you know, his subject matter still was, you know, and I felt that Brooklyn connection, because he's like, just like Big from Brooklyn. So his, you know, that Brooklyn connection, that whole thing, everything he was spitting was just I just felt it. So I said, you know what, we're going to run with this.
How do you avoid having to take a side in certain situations, right? Because we talk about the Jay-Z versus Nas, and then it was Lil' Kim versus Foxy, but you could navigate between those crews of people. Did you ever feel pressured, like, I have to?
Nah, not really. I think there was a lot of that out there in the media, but for me, a lot of these people are my friends and still my friends today. So again, I don't know if it's my relationships with everyone, because I was on the road with Big before I had Foxy. Mm-hmm. So I had a relationship with Kim. So, and then Kim and Foxy were friends. So after, you know, the hype and the media and, you know, who's better in the competition, everybody starts to pit people against each other. Mm-hmm. That's what happens with those relationships. But, you know, the relationships behind the scenes, like, I was never, you know, beefing with, you know, their side. It was never beefing with me. It was all about, for me, it's business.
Right.
Nothing personal. This is all business.
How did you initially, like, get the finances to start all of this stuff?
I mean, it was just me investing, working hard, and putting my money behind my name. You know, I bet on myself. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, the barbershop wasn't hard. You know, it was doing a barbershop. Then it was getting on the road. Then it was the music business. Then I did really well in the music business. Then I transitioned that into
franchising.
Then franchising into my own brand. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, let's talk. We didn't talk about the franchising.
And, yeah, so we want to real. So what I did was I got an opportunity after I had the club to franchise Papa John's Pizza. So a friend of mine came to me and said, I have this opportunity, and I partnered up with him with a 16-store deal in New York City.
Dope.
So we end up opening 8, and then I got the opportunity from there to open up IHOPs in Brooklyn. And then we end up opening those IHOPs. End up today we have 3 IHOPs in Brooklyn. So I took the development deal for the whole territory, and then from there I had an opportunity to do Checkers. So I opened up a few of those. So. But I want to say there's definitely a lack of participation from on the minority side in the franchise community as a whole. So I'm getting together with a you know a few Wall Street guys I met through Brooklyn Chop House down the financial district to kind of put a fund together to support and to invest in entrepreneurs and you know minority owned franchises for people to get into it because it's hard to navigate through.
Right.
The
people don't have the information.
It's the information.
Right.
So people don't have the information, and I have the information, and people ask me all the time, "How do I start a franchise? How do I get in?" Because you know it's everything from site selection to being approved financially to having experience already. So it's a catch 22 sometimes because a lot of the franchisors want you to have the experience and the, you know, capital to do it.
Correct.
And the two usually don't mix. Sometimes you have people with capital with no experience, and some people with experience that's been in the food business or the food and beverage for a long time but don't have the capital or can't get access to capital and finances. So we're trying to, you know, create something that puts all those things together and give them the information to connect the dots to where to go from, you know, business services, accounting, to lawyer services, to, you know, negotiating leases, to finding locations, to dealing with franchisors, to dealing with the franchise, the actual franchise agreement, you know, to understand all of the parts and pieces that you need to navigate through and to successfully, you know, start a franchise. Because it's there. It's just having, like you said, having the information.
And the knowledge, right?
And the knowledge. Doing it similar to, you know, what you've been doing, giving people the knowledge.
All right, we got more with Don Poole when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses. helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Dom Poole, owner of Brooklyn Chop House. Charlamagne?
How difficult is it to get in as a franchisee?
It's a process. So it's not a 1, 2, 3, like you just sign up and you're in. It's a process. So you have to get approved. You know, you have to qualify. So those are some of the things that we want to kind of share, get that information out and share that the opportunity is there, give you the information on how to do it. But it takes some time. You know, it could take 6 months to a year to get qualified. And then, you know, you have to build your restaurant. You have to find a restaurant. You have to negotiate a lease. You have to build a restaurant. You got to open a restaurant. You have to staff the restaurant. You have to hire people. You know, it's just. Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part, like, because a lot of these restaurants, they don't cost a lot to open.
Right.
It's just getting through all that paperwork.
Right, getting through the paperwork and then have access to financing, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, that's the holdback a lot for, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs is finding the access to capital as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to try to open up some doors. You know, anybody out there want to holler at me at Dom Poole Music?
Well, and I will say, Dom Poole is very accessible. When I decided I wanted to do the juice bar, the first thing I did was call Dom Poole and be like, "Do you have some time to sit down with me? I just wanted to talk to you about some things." And a lot of things I said I was going to do, I did end up doing. And one of the main things that Dom Poole said was a lot of people will come to him and ask him for advice, but then they don't act on it.
Absolutely. That's been the biggest thing. And, you know, you reached out, you know, you were opening up the juice bar and you reached out like, "Hey, you know, what do you think?" I'm like, "Oh man, doing your own business in that location, in that area," and made total sense. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, you know, don't follow through after they, you know, reach out, which is, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, it takes that determination.
It's hard to take that first step for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's hard to take that first mm-hmm. step for a lot of people because a lot of people are in that comfort zone. And, you know, it takes, you know, and I applaud all you guys for, you know, diversifying and all of the things that you guys are doing. And that's the key, being diversified, you know.
That's the biggest thing. When I talk to most people when I do the seminars, the biggest thing is they're scared to take that first step.
Right.
So if there's, let's say, 1,000 people there or 4,000 people there, you'll probably get 5% that actually will go towards and try. The other just hold that information, and I'm hoping that one day they'll get and be like, "You know what, let me just try," because most people are just scared to take that first step.
You know what Absolutely. The problem is, too? A lot of times when people are having these conversations with other people, it's the finished product talking to somebody who hasn't even started the process.
Correct.
That is
and
true.
And so they're looking, I want that now. But it's a process to get to Dom right. Poole, to get the, even though you don't know what you're talking about, to get right. the envy.
Shut
you
up.
Know what I'm saying?
It's definitely a process, but I think if we give them an example for them to look at. You bring the new person that just did it, mm-hmm. right? So for them to look at, like, and have them give their testimony on what it took for them to take that first step. Then it feels like, oh, he's like, you know, he's like me. He's not envy. He's not, you know,
yeah.
like too far gone. Like, you know, that's easy for him. Like, you know, he did it.
Yeah.
So like I'm hearing, but like he did it. But if you get testimonies from people that just signed up, that just did their first
first restaurant,
then it becomes a lot more, and you know, it connects.
Absolutely.
It connects a little better.
So what's the better hustle, music or the food industry?
Well, it gives me a chance to diversify the food and beverage and the hospitality business, but you know, my heart is in music, so. It could be, but music business for me has been a roller coaster, mm-hmm. and for many people, you know, there's been a few people that's mastered it, that's a few that's been able to just, you know, keep it there. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just wanted to diversify, and I think they're both, depending on, you know, the Times. I think mm-hmm. they're both. Okay. They're both good.
And you got a book coming out called How I Hopped.
Yeah. So a lot of the businesses that I've been in, so from hip hop, it's basically based on hip hop, I hop and chop, which has hop
Brooklyn
in it. So
C-hop.
So it's basically how I navigate my entrepreneurial mm-hmm. journey through, you know, these different industries and how I've been able to navigate and really to inspire and to actually give information on starting your own business and taking that first step and, you know, going from, you know, navigating and diversifying your portfolio into having, you know, seven streams of income, which is what we all kind of shoot for.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it so much.
And just know Brooklyn Chop House is open for lunch too. So a lot of people trying to figure out, where do I go for lunch or where do I come if I'm coming to visit New York? Where's a good place to go hang out? You never know who you might see at Brooklyn Chop House.
Absolutely.
I see you guys on page 6 all the time.
Absolutely. Thank you. You definitely come through Brooklyn Chop House. Even though it's called Brooklyn Chop House, it's in the city.
It's right by the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right by the Brooklyn Bridge. So definitely check it out. You guys won't be disappointed. Can't wait to have everybody. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes, sir.
This has been really dope, man.
All right. It's Don Pooh.
Thank you.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
My man.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, DJ Envy is on vacation, and I can't think of nobody that I wanted to talk to more this week than this man that is here right now. Tank is here, goddammit.
Come on, I'm in this
Tank.
Come on, I'm in this motherfucker.
New album promotion. Because there is an album out, Elevation.
There's an album out.
Yes.
Elevation.
That's what you was doing on lip service, promoting.
I was trying to promote my album.
Got and his you. Tour. He's on tour
and
with Fantasia.
And my tour, the tour that I'm on with Fantasia. It's her tour, but I'm on tour with her. We're doing really well. Mm-hmm. Robin Thicke, The Bonfire. It's going really well.
Well, you always on tour. You've been you have no shortage of money.
I do dates, but yes. The tour is different.
Got you, you know what I'm saying?
Where we actually line it up, package it. Promote it, just a different kind of thing.
You're one of the few R&B artists who stay on the road.
Yeah, I mean, me and Ginuwine.
Got you.
Ginuwine's always on the road. I don't know how he does it.
But forget all that. Yeah. How many do you have to suck?
And that's the problem with this. I don't know.
We got everything out the way. We promoted the album, the show. Now, how many do you have to suck to be gay?
I don't know. First of all, this is the problem. She did this.
Okay, tell me. Break it down.
We only saw
the edited version.
We were talking about lies.
Right, L'Oreal said that she was with this guy who was a liar.
Right.
And you said if you tell two lies, then you're not a liar.
Well, I was saying that he hasn't become a liar. He said he only lied twice about those two things. I said, so I'm not sure if he's a liar yet. He just felt a need to lie about those two things.
Was he lying about sucking?
And then Ms. Angela says, well, what about if you suck? I was like, well, how did we get here? Like, you could see my disposition. I didn't like where this was going.
So why didn't you stop it, Tank?
I don't know. I just started talking.
The thing about Tank is that Tank always wanted to prove his point, right?
I didn't want to back down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now I'm trapped in between two right? I don't know what the is going on just right here in a hard place.
And as Biggie said, you find yourself with two and no chick, you're being some serious.
So
you was with three chicks, four chicks.
So I don't know. Like, I'm not an expert on how many
so you was just talking.
There. Well, also this too. I also was speaking from what I feel is a behavior standpoint, right?
Okay.
If you participate in an act, mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily make you part of that thing.
But if you
now, I don't know if that's what
if
it
you're
takes.
You're going to act twice.
I don't know.
You said it twice.
Tank's point was,
if you're a construction worker and you do it two times.
I did construction a couple times, right. But I'm not a construction worker.
But you could be.
But I'm not.
But
I've
if you
never reverted back
it's on
said,
your resume.
I never said construction worker felt good to
it
me.
It should be
I'm
on your resume.
If you commit murder twice, you're a murderer.
If you do it once,
you rob two banks, you're a bank robber.
Well, but see, this we're talking about something different because we were talking about, or I'm talking about the exploration process of trying to find yourself.
Yes.
Sexually.
If you suck two in your life as a man, you may not be gay, but at the least you're bisexual.
At the least you were.
Were gay?
At one point.
Because that's okay. Like
if you
saying
don't
if
continue
you...
that behavior. Right. At one point, you were that.
So being gay is a habit.
Being gay
it's
is...
A choice. It's not a choice, but it's a lifestyle.
It's not always a choice, but it's a complete lifestyle.
Got you. Mm-hmm.
You don't get to, you know, dip in and dip out. Like, it's a real war going on in terms of how people are born and how people live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you just don't get to dibble and dabble. Either you are or you aren't.
Now, what
you can't
if you
snack on the? You have to have a steady diet.
Now, what if you were? What if say you are gay, but then you are then you engage in heterosexual
but
activity?
But that happens too,
right? And because so does know, that mean?
Because I know a lot of gay men who kiss girls.
Yeah, but they don't
consider themselves heterosexual. Like, no, I'm gay.
Isn't that bi though?
I don't know.
So why did you start the conversation? Why are you always talking about things we
I'm
have no...
I'm trying to defend my point. I am trying not to back down. It's four women against one man. I don't want to lose.
I'm gonna tell
you. So for the record, I don't know how many it takes.
You know what I learned?
I don't know.
You got to stop defending liars. And that's what the whole moral of this story is. Stop defending liars.
No, Angela. When we're talking about some different shit, you got to stop bringing up...
Actually, oh yeah, that is true. But she only bought up one. You came with two.
Cause the lie had to do with two. I was trying to win the lying argument. You stop this.
Oh my God, I have an album out. I think that states should have a three suck law. So I think if you suck three, just like you got the three strike law, then you got to register as gay.
Well, listen, I think as I go back to, there's an exploration process, and this speaks to the double standard. Women are allowed to explore and play and do all of these things, mm-hmm. and they don't get boxed into a thing.
Right.
And I think for men, there's a scary thing as it pertains to being gay. You know what I'm saying? That's the scariest thing mm-hmm. for a man to feel like it's been put on him.
Right. I think it's a lot of nuance, though. I don't think that people are necessarily tripping off the fact that of being gay. It's just the fact that your whole life you've been taught same-sex relationships mean that you're gay. So you said somebody did it twice, but said they're not gay. So that's really just defying everything people have learned throughout life. It's like, what do you mean that's not gay?
It does throw you off, right? But it still speaks to an act versus an existence.
Got you. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
And maybe that was just too much
for
the internet to, you know what I'm saying, to break down at one time. Because nobody actually stopped.
And just to clarify, you didn't say you were gay.
I didn't say that you sucked twice.
That's how it got to me.
No, I'm honest. The information came to me like Tank was on Angela Yee's podcast. I had a group chat. It was like Tank was on Angela Yee's podcast saying he sucked two. I'm like, what?
I haven't. I just want to be clear.
I'm just telling you it's like a game of telephone.
Right. So
by the time it got to you, I was like, Tank said what?
Yeah.
I'm like, why would he just randomly volunteer that information?
I don't like it. But no, it's not. And then, you know, I heard you say yesterday, like, what does it have to do with homophobia, right?
Yes.
And it's crazy because when people are in the comments and everything and they're throwing gay at me, they're not throwing gay at me in a sense, oh, he's different but still special. No, they're throwing gay at me like rocks in a Chinese protest.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? In an effort to try to tear me down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that because I looked at it.
They're not speaking in a sense of, oh, he's just not like us. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, he's damned. I hope he chokes on the That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that part
is wrong. If you're still choking on you need to suck more than two.
I don't do that.
More than two, you have experience.
I don't have no experience.
I can understand why you would choke on it if you only did it twice.
I don't understand. I don't understand, Charlamagne. I'm not falling into this.
I get called gay all the time. I said some wild stuff in the middle of just talking conversation.
I've said some wild things. I've worn blouses before.
You were in here with your legs up.
I was in here with my legs up. We've had this moment, right?
But talking about back to the blouse. When you wear a blouse?
I'm saying some shirts just don't always come out the men's section. That's not the point.
Pink?
I was about to throw somebody else under the bus. They do it too, but that's not what I'm going to do.
Who else wears blouses?
I'm not saying a blouse. I'm just saying a silk shirt that's open, kind of shows your breast area up here.
Your chest area, Tank.
Breast sectionals.
Men don't have breasts. Tank, you're not helping yourself right now.
I beg to differ.
Wow. How did all this happen?
Tank, like the men I've seen. But I don't think it was homophobia, though, bro.
How
is it not?
I do think you received some homophobia, but
not some. A gang.
I think a lot of us just wanted to know, what is considered
gay?
They
didn't want to know what's considered gay. They wanted to consider me gay.
They wanted to change the whole story.
Because you even said that, because you even thought that,
yeah,
you're gay.
Yeah, I can see how people would think that.
It's not a fair assessment mm-hmm. of me having an opinion. Now, it's a clip. Now, people who did their due diligence and went and watched the video, there was clarity for them. They're right. Like, oh, I get what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Not that I have to agree with it, but I do get what he's saying.
All right, we got more with Tick. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, yesterday, Tink stopped through. I was on vacay, and Charlamagne and Yee got a chance to talk with him. Let's get back into that interview. Charlamagne?
Yeah. You can call Gabe more now with this or when you was up here talking about you like to get your ass eaten, which I agreed with you on.
I think this might have been, this might have took the cake. This might have took the cake. Because at least with the salad tossing thing, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like... The hadn't gotten involved.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think once the got involved, then it became it became a whole different level.
But, man, I can't wait to see how much Dank tweets how he chops this up. This is gonna be so
gonna
good.
Be so bad and good at the same time. I have an album out.
Well, take one more question. If you have sex with a man twice.
I don't know. I've never had sex with a man. I don't plan to have sex with a man. I don't know. Angela?
You know is gonna be yelling two at you in the street, right? Two you know that's coming, right? His album's out right now, though.
My album is out, man.
Elevation.
What's the? I don't even know. Oh, Elevation.
Elevation.
I don't even know.
This is wild, man. You're supposed to be here for me, man.
I was with you, but I'm gonna tell you something. That was a good conversation. But it sparked a lot of good dialogue.
If people listen to both sides, it'll spark good dialogue.
Yes. Right. And I like it because I think it does expose a lot of people's fragile masculinity.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, absolutely. Like, if you're sitting around with four women, why can't you have that conversation? Even if you were sitting around with some guys, why couldn't you have that conversation?
Well, I mean, then they bring up a bunch of things. Like, oh, so it makes sense that he performed at Gay Pride and all of these things. I'm like,
you got on a pink hoodie just, now. They'll say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Saint Laurent made it in this color. I mean, which one?
Yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
I'm just a fan of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like we all are different for a reason, and those differences shouldn't separate us and shouldn't make us hate each other. You'd be amazed at the things you're teaching our black men, and you're helping with this white supremacist agenda. Like, what are y'all talking about?
Yeah, I saw
about?
Some yeah. of that, too. Like, you guys are pushing this agenda.
You guys are pushing this agenda. No, I made a joke about...
Right.
What's the best joke you saw about yourself this week, though?
I saw a picture with me and a bag of sugar.
I love sugar. Next to me. Sugar in the tank sugar, is great. You should play off that.
It was. I'm not going to do it.
You should play off that.
No, I'm
you
not going
to... You can write a whole record about fragile masculinity and toxic masculinity.
I am not here advocating for anything
other than
my album and love each other.
Yes, but
one another.
That's part of the love. I can listen to your music. Your music throughout the years has always been about embracing the
what's
divine.
What's the hook?
The divine feminine.
On the toxic masculinity song, what's the hook?
The divine feminine is the sweetness, right? And you're in tune with your divine feminine energy.
I'm.
The sweetness is the sugar.
Nope.
The sugar in the tank.
Nope.
Come on, bro.
No.
You see... I gotta be in some of these marketing meetings, man.
No, you do not need to be in none of my marketing meetings.
Listen,
I am done.
Did you write Slave for Life Jennings? I think you wrote that record.
I did
bro.
Not write that record.
I do, because you defended that. You defended those
no,
lyrics. I know y'all got a song together.
No, I didn't defend his lyrics. I defended his creativity.
Right. You have the right to be creative.
You have a right to be creative.
That is true.
I didn't defend his lyrics. There have been slave references and all of these things. Since in the hip-hop world and all of these things, and nobody was mad until a guy actually put melody to it.
That's not true. Because Lil Wayne, it's not necessarily a slave reference, but when he said, beat that ass up like Emmett Till, or beat that pussy up like Emmett Till,
radio... Beat it like a cop. They played the record.
No, radio bleeped that line.
It was a top 10 record.
Yeah, but radio took that line out, and on streaming services now, that line
isn't
in there.
Even if they took the line out, the line is in the song.
There was no outrage.
There was no outrage.
No, there was. It just wasn't no social media back then.
It didn't stop the record from doing anything, though.
But they took it out. They took that line out.
They didn't replace it with another line. They just bleeped it. Right here it goes. Yep. Right here goes the other line.
It goes, na-na,
na-na, na-na. And when people sang along with the song, they didn't stop singing right there. They said the line.
But they still took it out.
It didn't stop the record from performing well in all of these outlets.
But it was a good record.
If anything, if that record was, if there was out so much outrage surrounded around the record, they shouldn't have played the record.
But it was a good record.
So you're saying if it's a good record, you could say...
It's not a good record.
Why not? Why is it not a good record?
It's not a good record. I told Life that when he was here. It's just not a good record.
It so you're saying it if it's a good record, you can say whatever you want in it?
Are you saying that if it's a the reason Life's not playing is because of the content? But I'm saying it's not playing because it's not a good record.
I think that if the problem is content overall, then whether the record is good or bad, it shouldn't be played if we're going to set a bar.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? At the time, Lil Wayne was burning on fire. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be a Lil Wayne record that nobody's not going to play. But as we speak to the content side of it, if we're measuring content on the same bar, on the same level, then if it's damaging, if it's, you know what I'm saying, if it's in that space, you can't play it.
You like that Life record? Life is a great artist. He's made great music. Let's be honest, Tank. Do you like that record? Just sonically. Forget the content just when you hear it.
I am not going to say that that is Life's best record.
Okay.
I'm not going to say
that.
You know, when Fantasia was up here, she was talking about getting married and mm-hmm. what made her decide, okay, this is what I need to do with myself in order for me to accept this love. What did you need to do for you to be able to accept the love to get married?
I had to accept myself. You know what I mean? Because I had been married before and I didn't want to make the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of me getting to the point of finally saying that I'm ready was getting over the fact that I had failed. And when I finally came to terms with, you know, the idea of that I can do it. I can do it. I can be better. I can do better. I owe her better.
Or
that's when it, you know, came full circle.
That's interesting because I learned that lesson from my fathers and my uncles. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like watching all of their relationships not work out, like their marriages end in divorce and stuff like that. So when you're a man and you're wilding and engaging in that kind of behavior mm-hmm, with mm-hmm. your significant other, you're like, yeah, I don't want it to end like that. But you actually right. went through
I went
it.
Through it because yeah. I'm a first generation of everything that I am. Mm-hmm. So there was no blueprint for me. Like I was just thrown into the fire. You know what I'm saying? I'm 24 years old with a hit record touring the country.
Oof.
Newly married, Oof. New baby. You know what Oof. I'm saying? So
girls like, throwing their panties
girls
on stage.
Throwing everything on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I just wasn't equipped mentally or physically. I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. That's smart, though.
Yeah, I didn't have it. And I just, you know, like I said, I wanted to be better for this moment.
Did you know that then? Or did your emotional IQ get higher as you got older?
Got higher as I got older.
Got you.
The more I went through. No, I was young and dumb.
So back then you probably was cheating a whole lot and then telling your wife what?
Whatever I could tell her. You know what I mean?
You lucky to be with me?
No. I've never been that guy.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? I was always the, I gotta hide it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
which makes you feel like
a piece of
shit. Well, back to that. Yes. I was a liar.
How many lies? One or two? I'm just asking. How many lies was it, Tank?
Lying at that point was a lifestyle. But you know, like I said, you gotta learn and you gotta grow and you gotta do better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? You just have to, or you won't get the most out of what's supposed to be yours.
All right, we got more with Tank when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Tank. He was here yesterday. I was on vacay. So Charlamagne and Yee got to kick it with him. Charlamagne.
So you got a song on the album called WWJD. I'm assuming that's What Would Jesus Do?
What would Jodeci do?
What would Jodeci do?
Yeah, Kanye's doing a gospel album.
Yeah,
doing the R&B album.
Dang.
You feel what I'm saying?
What would Jodeci do, Tank?
What would Jodeci
that's
do?
A tough... Now, see, that intrigues me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's that song. Yeah. Produced by Harmony, written by...
You don't write your own music, Tank? I thought you
write
your own music.
No, I write most of my music, but I don't mind getting a song from somebody who's written the dopes. It's my guy. He's going to be so mad watching this interview. He newly ripped now.
He probably don't want you to shout him out after hearing about them two this week, so don't.
City High.
Oh, okay.
Ryan Toby. That's my guy. That's like my bro. Forgive me right now. Ryan Toby wrote that record. He brought it to me. I said, this is a smash.
What Jodeci do, though? In what situation? Like, what is this concerning?
Well, the song is constructed with a bunch of Jodeci moments mm-hmm. in the song. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of lyrical and melodic tie-ins.
Can we play
with
that?
The Jodeci. Yeah, of course you can play it. Absolutely.
Let's play What Would Jodeci Do? It's Freaky Friday.
Play the whole album.
Yeah, play the whole album.
It's Freaky Friday.
That's the only... That's why I'm here.
Oh, okay.
What's Dirty about?
Dirty? It is about being dirty.
Yeah.
After When We, I felt like we could go one more level.
Wow.
Without completely, you know what I'm saying, being all the way out of pocket. Right. There's one more level we can get to. After Dirty, that we there's nowhere else we can go.
You know, I heard
we
a dope. I heard a dope song that I don't think it's released yet. It's you and Duval and Jacquees.
Yeah.
Called Nasty.
Yeah.
They should have put that out this week, right after your comment.
Come on, Duval, drop that.
Drop that nasty Duval.
It's a dope song. Like, I'm a fan of Duval. I love what he's doing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. Like the idea of him throwing on some slacks, tucking the shirt in, and singing, you know, and singing some grown R&B.
Yeah. Have you heard his R&B song, Dropping Off?
Yeah.
You should jump on that, too, right now.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to be associated with anything.
No, it is.
I don't want to be associated with anything with that word in it.
With
I'm not saying that word no more.
So if Dick's Sporting Goods come to you right now and Dick's Sporting Goods say, we want to give you an endorsement deal, you're not going to take it?
No.
I don't believe you.
No, not right now.
And now, see, now you have fragile masculinity. Now your masculinity
is looking very fragile. Well, look at what I've gone through in the last 24 hours. It's not my fault.
No, stand on them d***s, man.
No, I will not.
Stand strong.
No. Why are you doing this?
What did your wife
have to say? Why don't you talk about my
What does she have to say about all this?
She doesn't like it.
What did she say?
She doesn't like it.
What did she say?
Because her DMs are filled with your man is sucking. Like, that's what's going on. That's what she has to deal with. Are you sucking him with him? Oh, like, that's what she's going
man.
Through.
Oh, my God. That's so disrespectful.
No, that's what's man. Going on. It's really hard out here, man.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No need to say that in a conversation about Tank, we know it's hard out here. I just took my CMOS. All right, man.
And Amari Hardwick's on the album a couple of times.
Yes, it is.
What's their affiliation with Amari Hardwick?
That's my brother, man.
Y'all look like y'all could be brothers for real.
Yeah. I've even taken pictures as Ghost. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, girls, oh my God, it's
you,
Ghost.
Amari and Michael Jai White.
Michael Jai, I get that too. I get that too. And that's the girls, you're Ghost. I'm like, yeah. So can I take a picture? Sure. Let me take a picture and hopefully later she'll find out that I'm Tank. But he's I think he's just extremely gifted, man. His his mixture of spoken word, the poetry, the rap, the way he does that, I think is really, really dope.
It's interesting when you hear him because we know him, you know, so much from seeing him on Power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you see him doing the spoken word and the music and you're like, oh, because at first it's like a hard transition in your head.
And
that's
how
I think for Jamie Foxx at first as a comedian and as an actor. And then seeing him sing, I feel like they have it a little harder to break through.
Well, yeah. Because,
people don't take him serious.
Yeah, because people are just locked into a thing. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, people get selfish. Like, that's the only time they want to take you out of the box. You know what I'm saying? And usually is when you're doing that thing. And when you're done with that, they want to put you back in the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, I just wanted to use my platform to give him the space and freedom to be all that he is.
All right. Yeah. All right, that's Tank, man. I think we got enough for Much Dank to make a great video. your album's out.
Say something nice about my album, man.
I haven't heard it yet. If it's as entertaining as the conversation you had on Lip Service, though, about them two
It's a really good album.
Right.
It's my best work yet.
No, that's important. And you have so much great work, so that's something to live up to. So you know people are going to be listening.
I'm very happy about this.
And comparing
I'm extremely happy about this. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me nothing.
I'm definitely, we about to play What Would Jodeci Do right now, so you can introduce that.
Oh, let's play that, yeah. What Would Jodeci Do? Harmony, Ryan Toby. I'm just a singer on this one, man. Very inspirational. Jodeci was one of my favorite groups. Helped shape the fabric of everything that I am musically. Let's lock that in.
What would Jodeci do if they were approached with a question like they got on Lip Service about a dick?
Jodeci probably getting up and leaving.
But thanks for staying.
Jodeci getting up and leaving. Man, I'm out. I ain't got time for this.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Because in those times, you weren't. You didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
This is 2019. Now you talk about anything.
Right, you can.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
Angela?
You should be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Tank. It's the Breakfast Club.
Why are you looking at me?
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty fun.
Charlamagne the devil?
The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey today
goes to a man named Hansel de Bartolo III. He's 37 years old, and he legally changed his name to Sexy Vegan. I'm not making this up. This young man named Hansel de Bartolo III legally changed his name to Sexy Vegan. If you're watching Revolt, you can see Sexy Vegan on the TV. Now, I can make this the shortest donkey of the day ever and give him the biggest hee-haw right now for legally changing his name to Sexy Vegan, but it gets worse. Well, in the case of Donkey of the Day, it gets better. Now, two things you need to know. Number one, you may know who Sexy Vegan is. He got slightly infamous back in the day when he appeared on the Dr. Phil show, and it turned out like this.
I am the beautiful vegan messiah. It's a song. I didn't say I was, and she knows it. I was just like my dad. 10 luxury cars. My dad told me I had the same name as him until I legally changed it. My mom did not bail me out of jail when she knew I was innocent. I'm liberating over 70 billion pigs in cages so small they cannot move for years.
Okay.
My mom's a sociopathic piece of shit. I have the highest score in Hot or Not history. I got 9.9 out of 10 after 327 women rated me. Let's see your talent.
All right.
Let's see your talent, you ugly piece of
Okay, stop. Hey, hey, look at me.
Let's
look
see
at
your
me.
Talent.
No, hey, hey, hey. No, you need to look at me.
I don't have to do
Okay, take okay. him out.
All right. Sexy Vegan, ladies and gentlemen. Sexy Vegan. Now, number two, we all know what the word dog means in our culture, right? You have had tons of rappers with dog in their name. Most mm-hmm. famous, Snoop Dogg. People use the term down south a lot still in reference to your homies, your friends, your partners. You'd be like, that's my dog. All right, I don't use the word dog because I think it's just God backwards. I would rather say peace, God, to my brothers as opposed to what's up, dog. But I don't knock anyone who does it. Do you, dog? Okay? I also don't think anyone immortalized it as much as DMX did when he made the classic tune, Get At Me, Dog. All right? Turn that up a little bit. Let me hear that. Okay. The Urban Dictionary says dog is your best friend, your friend to lean on, your companion. So all my slang impaired people out there understand what I mean when I say my dog, okay? It's safe to say that you would never hurt your dog, right? You wouldn't hurt your dog, right, Envy?
No.
You know, you wouldn't hurt your dog, either.
Never.
Right?
I yeah. love my puppy.
What you want for your dog, you want for yourself, right? You can't call someone your dog if you inflict pain on them in any way. So what if, you know, I told you that the sexy vegan, what if I told you that the sexy vegan sexually assaulted his dog?
What do you mean?
Well, that's the allegation. The sexy vegan is accused of assaulting his partner, his dog. Let's go to YouTuber Isaac Butterfield's page for the report, please.
A face-tattooed man who legally changed his name to Sexy Vegan has been charged with sexually assaulting his dog. Sexy Vegan, whose real name is Hansel Marion de Bartolo III. Can I just say, this is all allegedly. I don't want to get sued by his very rich parents. Hansel Gretel Sexy Vegan was busted in West Hollywood on Thursday over a video he allegedly posted on social media showing inappropriate behavior with a pit bull, prosecutors what? Said. Detectives found a video on social media of the suspect performing an act of bestiality. He faces up to 1 year in county jail if convicted, the attorney office said, stressing the case was still being investigated.
Oh, they met an actual dog.
Mm.
How did I miss that? I read this in the New York Daily News this morning, and I didn't think anything of it. I just profiled the guy. He's white, and he had tats all over his face.
Is he really a vegan?
He had an urban glare, okay? I saw it say he sexually assaulted his dog, and then I got busy doing other things. I didn't realize the guy was literally penetrating pit bulls. All right, sexy vegan was hound humping, all right, mating with mongrels, loving on Lassie, skeeting on Scooby.
Hey, Scooby! You?
My first thought when I heard this story is this is exactly why I don't eat meat. I mean, why I eat meat. All right? Okay. This is exactly why I eat meat, all right? You stop eating animals just to fornicate with them? What kind of logic is that? It said it takes a different level of consciousness and compassion to stop consuming dead animals. So what level of consciousness and compassion does it take to fornicate with one? I have so many questions. Is there a relationship between sexy vegan and a dog? Were they a couple? Did he at least give her some Happy Howie's doggy treats before he gave the dog his bone? All right, I was told the sexy vegan loved this animal, and it wasn't just sex, but when we reached out to the dog for comment, he said this.
You don't love me, you just love my doggy style.
Now, sexy vegan has pleaded not guilty. His bail is set at $35,000, and he could face a year in county jail. I have nothing else to say about this, all right? Some donkey of the days just sell themselves. If sexy vegan is listening, I just want to tell you, keep your head up, and I would like to play a song for you and your balking-ass bae. All right, I'm going to flash back to my Quiet Storm days. I used to do the Quiet Storm in Charleston, South Carolina, 12 a.m. to 5 a.m. on Z93 Jams and Hot 98.9, introducing love songs. This is Charlemagne the God, Thug Love Status. This is Charlemagne the God, Thug Love Status, and this joint is from me, the sexy vegan, and his barking ass bae. It's Paul Anza with Puppy Love. Get you in the mood.
And they called it Puppy Love. Oh, I guess that.
You in the mood for some canine comfort yet? Please give Hansel DeBartolo, a.k.a. Sexy Vegan, the biggest hee-haw. Now, there's somebody
count as a vegan.
There's somebody in this room who likes canine comfort, but I'm not going to say no names.
Oh. Does he have a labradoodle?
I don't know what kind of dog he has. He grabbing the microphone. I didn't say nothing. A hit dog will holler.
I love my dog, man. I know. Not that much.
You saw they said that they wish they would have never created a labradoodle.
That was bullish.
And they called it a Frankenstein.
Yeah, that was fake news.
What's the craziest thing you do with your dogs?
I just
that's our
we go to the
guy,
park
Steve.
And stuff. But he's listening right now.
Park.
I just want to give my dog Fritz a shout out. Hey Fritz, if you're listening right now,
woof.
I'll be home soon.
What?
Wow.
A roof?
All right.
I don't have...
said it was gay. So what?
Word, man.
What are you doing to that labradoodle? Doodle love with the labradoodle.
All right. All right.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
I don't have time for this level of whiteness.
Make sure you follow Steve so you can see him in his
labradoodle. Yeah. All right. We got more coming up next. We're The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Yep.
We got some special guests in the building.
My now.
DC Young Fly.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Carlos Miller.
Hey.
Hey, Chico B.
Hey.
We in the Breakfast Club. We done made it to the Breakfast Club, bro.
Y'all have y'all moment. Go ahead.
I'm
going to be honest with you. I did not realize Chico ain't never been here before.
I really did not.
It's a shame that y'all both keep telling him he's been here. He keeps telling you he hasn't.
He's my partner, though. Like, I love these motherfuckers.
It's a damn shame we never been up here.
That is crazy.
You never come up here for
that. They called you nine times. You ain't
online content or
at least to stand in the window like them and look.
Now, what made y'all want to do the 85 South thing? Because, of course, y'all met on Wildin' Out, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
What made y'all decide this is the threesome that could do 85 South?
The three what?
Man, you got to watch your mouth, Charlamagne.
I know you write books and all, but
keep trying to slip in all of these little innuendos.
Chill, bro. You ain't write no book right now, Charlamagne. This is a brotherhood.
Exactly.
There you go, the brotherhood. The brotherhood of three.
Well,
I just want to get on this train.
I know I'll start. Like, we met on Wildin' Out, you know what I mean? We knew each other. Me and Los knew each other prior to Wildin' Out, but, you know, it was just an idea that Los always had. We always scheming about things that we can do to kind of, you know, further our talent and just show the world more about, you know, what it is that we do
individually and as a unit. So Los was just like, man, I'm great. Make a podcast and we're going to make this thing go. So, you know, he wanted us to be a part of it and that's just the way it went.
So they say y'all don't plan the show when y'all go on tour. Y'all just go out there and whatever feeling y'all got. Y'all
exactly. I'm going to tell you how we used to do it, right? Mm-hmm. We used to have a structure. You know, like how y'all used to... A structure.
You said structure.
Yeah, you got to put a K in it. It's a structure. You know how y'all used to have a paper. You know exactly what you were going to say. You know your key topics, what you were going to do. Mm-hmm. We just had to figure each other out first. Mm-hmm. And then we used to have a piece of paper. You know what I'm saying? The first 2-3 shows. You know what I'm saying? Even with the podcast, we would just go at it. Now we don't have no paper. We going off each other's comedy, and we going off the vibe because we know each other's scrimps already. Right. All we got to do is press record, and we be like, what you do today? And it's on and popping. What
Taylor,
did you see?
Taylor went to the show, right? And Taylor said there's one of y'all that has no filter, doesn't care about anything, will go left,
by,
right.
By the way,
no,
that's, actually, she that's all three of them.
Nobody. You get the levels of, you know what I'm saying, of stupidity.
I don't give a f***ness.
That's what it is. It's just stupidity. Right. You got me, the young wild, ain't no telling. You got to watch him. Chico, he in the middle between the young and the wisdom. So he be like, I want to go with DC, but I can't. I got to change my life around.
I got a family.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a mix. You know what I'm saying? And then he intelligent like a motherfucker. Then you got the OG. The wisdom who done been through everything.
All of it.
He sit there and still tell you that all your grandma's still a freak.
She's still a freak. How you think your uncle got here?
Carl, how your mom and daddy feel about you talking about their sex life?
Well, my mother passed away, so she don't give a damn. Father ain't having much sex, so he just living vicariously through me. I mean, I was talking about my father last night. He come to the show.
I heard.
Drink up $200 worth of Hennessy, but I just got one of those fathers that's like, it don't matter how successful I get, he's still going to be a He gonna try to holler at some young. I gotta kick him out of every show. That's the cloth that I came
kicked
from.
Him out last night.
He definitely did.
He
enjoyed himself before we got put out. He had a good time.
So you let him travel with you?
I take him places.
Okay,
but he has to leave early.
Last night he had the food. What'd he say on the phone?
Oh, the girl was taking a picture on the phone. She was like, "Your camera smudged." She was like, "Smudged? You talking about my phone like it's nasty, young lady?" I said, "Man, this is an OG player right here, man."
So funny, man.
You acting like my phone. That's a nasty word.
What's the biggest transition y'all had to make since getting some celebrity?
I think for me, it's just understanding that the reach is greater now. So the decisions that you have to make don't just affect you anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Like, but now you got to understand that your reaction is going to cause a shockwave throughout everything that you got going on, because people are looking at you to either try to get something from you or either fans or whatever it may be. So you have to be real selective about who and what you give your energy and time.
Let's know that DC said Chico is the smartest. You said you what?
Damn who I represent. I'm slapping their ass.
Well, that you got accused of being mean-spirited.
Oh, don't. You crazy. I just tell the truth. That's it. She's crazy. You found your man yet?
Yes, I have a boyfriend.
Oh, congratulations.
That's why you're so nice.
What is this boyfriend sh-?
Well, you been trying to shoot your shot, Lord?
No, I'm just saying.
It's been years?
Yes.
What a is it Blast?
Oh, you going with Blast?
No, I have a boyfriend.
You like your booty?
Because you know that's who we were talking about in the car. I'll be all with Angela. Yeah, how? She be giving me. I'll be like, give me all that. She be sitting on that motherfucking radio all motherfucking day and that. Just be right.
Don't nobody say Angela Yee name like Webby. Angela Lee. Angela Lee.
You heard how we said Charlamagne's name?
Huh?
Charlamagne.
Don't try Charlamagne. To put energy on
Charlamagne.
You keep all that over there, Yee. All right?
Charlamagne.
Webby, my favorite Breakfast Club interview ever. Because he don't answer no questions. Webby, what you doing? Mike, we just doing it, Mike. No kids. Mike, no kids. Mike, that room smell like pee, Mike. Yeah, but the album coming out, Boo gonna be straight. Boo straight. I talked to Boo yesterday.
Here's the funny part. Envy always come with the question like he said.
That room smell like pee.
But tell me a little bit more about the room. Like, how did you guys set it up and everything? Come on.
All right, we got more with Carlos Miller, Chico Bean, and DC Young Fly from MTV's Wildin' Out. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, from MTV's Wildin' Out, we have DC Young Fly, Chico Bean, and Carlos Miller in the building. Now, when you guys are roasting somebody, are there rules to it?
Just don't talk about nobody's dead family. Yeah, dead family. It's always kids, right?
I would say don't touch
kids.
Your kids can get it.
Kids only get it when they walk into it. If I roast you, and your child will come out of nowhere, he got a little walk. You like, oh, that's your little boy. I ain't gonna talk about the little boy until he walked through. He gotta walk in the line of fire.
How do y'all feel when people come at y'all kids? Because Chico, I be seeing your little girl online. DC, you put your little girl online. I know they be trying to get y'all.
I see it first.
Shout out to my son. You ain't seen my son?
I've never seen you post your son. You ain't got
no kid. Yeah, because my son don't like that. He at the age where he'd be like, don't do that. Don't post that. Yeah. I don't want to be on. I posted a picture of him one day, and it got like 10,000 likes. He was like,
take it down.
I'm cute, ain't it? I got you all them likes. I'm like, boy, chill out.
My son,
he's about to be 10. He don't want to be popular or none of that. He just like to chill, play his game.
He don't want all that.
I think that posting her now and being able to navigate that energy with her while she with me will help her when she get older. And, you know, because social media and all that going to change. It's going to be old by the time she grow up. So I want her to be, you know, trained to not pay attention to opinions of people. Mm-hmm. And it's not real. You need to go up under your comments and somebody can say anything to you. But it's all what you decide to dedicate your energy to. So I'm just teaching her that you got the power to, you know, let people affect you on a day-to-day basis. So
and you put her in your sketches, Chico, Brother Knowledge.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because it's fun. Hilarious. She into it. That's what she wants to do. Like, she expressed, like, hey, daddy, I want to, you know, be in a play or I want to do this. So I'm like, well, do it with me. So you can get all the, you know, nervous energy that you may have and all of that. Because when she's doing something with me, she don't feel
great father.
Yeah. Right. And she just like, I'm with my daddy, so I'm going to do whatever. So I just think that me being in her life and allowing her to be able to get all her dreams off and do whatever she want to do while she with me is going to make it easier when she get out here among strangers.
Does she watch the podcast and stuff? Do they watch the podcast?
Nah, you won't be watching everything.
Like, daddy, what's a condom?
That's a light question for my daughter.
I think my little girl has some hair, man.
It's coming, Fly.
My little girl looks just like this mic right here, man. Grow some hair about here, girl.
How old is she now?
Too old to be bald head.
Leave the baby alone, man. I be telling her, man.
Every time she wake up, I be like, bitch, look, your hair ain't growing. You need to go back to sleep.
What kind of questions are your kids asking?
It's so much, because they online all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not like a... Not nothing too graphic or too.
That you gotta really explain, like, well.
Yeah, my son, he a boy, so he sees stuff and he just act like he don't see it. Mm-hmm. I know I'm doing a good job as a father because he told me one day, he was like, daddy, boys don't kiss. I was like,
see,
equal opportunity. Equal opportunity out here at iHeartMedia.
We about to switch it back up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Breakfast Club.
You got hair growing cream? Send it my way.
Start talking like the white man.
That happens. But yeah, that's where we live.
Why has Wildin' Out worked for y'all, but not necessarily other people who may be funny? Like somebody like Jess Hilarious, she didn't necessarily shine on the show. How did y'all figure it out?
What you mean she didn't shine on the show?
You know, everybody just took their own, you know what I'm saying, opportunity and did it, you know what I'm saying, how they ever want to do it.
Because Wildin' Out worked like this, bro. It's like, you got to be a part of a team. It's different when you're a comedian and you can get your laughs by yourself. And you used to doing your own thing, but like, can you be part of a team? Can you set up a joke for somebody else? Can you be the joke? Do you know how to play off somebody getting a joke off on you? So a lot of those things come into play with Wildin' Out. And then, you know, it's a lot of people on there. So a lot of people are just looking for their niche and they never find it.
And they just want to be funny all the time.
Exactly.
And I just told myself, like, after my first season, I just told myself, really, I learned after my second season. Because my second season wasn't probably my best season out of all my seasons. You feel me? It was kind of more so I seen where they tried to cut me up, make me look like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm getting clean. But then I was like, oh, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Yeah. That ain't me. I had to go in there and rough my hair up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
go
yours was looking just like
the microphone.
Just like the mic. You know what I mean? I'm like, wait a minute. Why people try to change you, DC?
It wasn't that.
It was just more so like I felt like the game tried to change me too fast.
Right. Gotcha.
Before me, you were like, hold up, let me find my place in the industry. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, me just being me is where I'm at instead of me just trying to elevate. Learn with the game. Don't let the game outgrow you just yet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm learning with the game. And then after my second season, it was back to action. You know what I mean? And just like how you said, like, don't really care about getting the laugh all the time. Can't you be the joke?
Right.
Make fun of me every show so I can be on TV.
Right. And the platform is wide open.
One thing people don't realize about Wildin' Out is you don't always have to be talking to be funny on that show. There's so many ways.
There's a lot of ugly people on the show. Come on.
The platform. The platform.
All you gotta do is just get
open.
The camera going across. They're gonna be like, hell no, we can't get glad.
Wide open. Like, that's the thing about the show. There's no structure to what you can do in regards to the comedy that you want to present. Like, for example, the old school battles that me and him do.
Yeah.
Like, that was just something that was organically that we just did. Like, hey, man, you bet you don't want to do this. And that's the thing. You can do whatever you want to do. You just have to find a way to make it work within that system of being on there with a whole bunch of other people, because everybody want to get on there and become the star, but it's not really structured for there to be one star. And that the big star is Nick Cannon. They say Nick Cannon presents. After that, everything else is, you know, team oriented. So
your ass is an employee.
Yeah.
How often do you practice?
Practice.
Yeah. Do y'all practice or rehearse?
Practice what?
Rehearse as far as on Wildin' Out.
Yeah. How?
Practice. Y'all just go there and just.
But how can you rehearse it?
How can you rehearse comedy?
It's improv, right?
Unless it's a stand-up.
It's crazy because you came on there. You know we don't rehearse.
No,
I mean,
our section, but I thought maybe y'all rehearse like y'all do the family reunion.
No. Some people need that. You know what I mean? Some people, and that's another thing about Wildin' Out. A lot of people come in and don't get the structure and try to do comedy like they doing on their phone and all that. But there is no edit and delete when you shooting live TV.
But you got to understand that Wildin' Out is TV. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they go get them people and then they put them on the show, but then you got to understand when that thing say action, the lights get to moving like this and shit. And people be in there wildin', them folks be in there like this, they're real, they're TV.
Alright, we got more with the cast of NTV's Wildin' Out and also the 85 South podcast, Carlos Miller, Chico Bean, and DC Young Fly, so don't move, it's The Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club from MTV's Wildin' Out. We have Chico Bean, Carlos Miller, and DC Young Fly. Charlamagne?
How do y'all feel about Nick Cannon stand-up?
Say what?
I mean,
how do y'all feel about Nick Cannon stand-up?
What you mean?
His comedy.
What you mean? Like,
what are you,
just in general.
I'm just saying.
He's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but you thought we were going to say something bad about Nick.
He's stupid.
What about his music?
Yeah.
It's Jay-Z? The Beatles, no. Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon.
Don't do that. It's the Beatles, Prince, R.I.P., Nick Cannon.
So Nick rap better than you, DC?
Huh?
Nick rap better than you?
What? He's great.
Exactly.
What?
And that's the thing, like...
He's cold.
We make the jokes about Nick, but that's what makes Nick so great, is that,
you know... He can take the joke.
He can, but he can't. He'd be like, cut it out. Make a lot of money off that music. You're up the brand.
But Nick is the type of dude that he got all of the jokes that we tell about him. But that's the thing that make me, you know, so appreciative of him. It's like, if you a boss, you can put somebody on.
But it's a
difference to put them on and stand next to them while they figuring out the process. And that's what, and not only that, be the brunt of the joke when they figuring out the process. Like, man, over the years, how many times have we cooked Nick on the show?
I think I done cooked them too much. Yeah, it's white. They done kicked me off.
They editing you out now?
They kicking me out. They talking about don't even come back next year.
You
laughing, but I'm dead ass.
I was
saving that to say it. Yeah, they done kicked me out. They done kicked me out. I got
Carlos, be honest,
man. Breaking news. They called me. They were like, we love you, but we don't you.
Swear to God, Carlos.
Swear to God. Call him, Sean.
Chico, is he lying?
No.
Nah, he not lying.
Tell him.
DC?
No. The show is about to end,
man. Come on, man.
They kicked me off.
You said that thing about boys kissing somewhere, didn't you?
They picked you up and said, look, get on the sidewalk.
I think it was when I told Nick he was lame as hell for going on a date with Mariah and her new dude. And then I felt it was all downhill after that. I said it, and then it was just, I was just, the vibe changed. He was like,
and it was that.
You can't just kick Carlos off now. Come on, Dad. We need an explanation.
I think it was the white people. The white people never really loved me like that over there.
I feel like it's too much in the air that grown men need to have to sit down. Because I'm the little brother that go. I went to the source. You feel me? Any problem, any solution, I'm confrontation.
You know what I'm saying?
I go look the confrontation.
And what do you say when you ask him?
Basically, need to have a sit down, man. That's all that is. Put Nick on the phone, man. Let me tell you something. Put Nick on the phone so I can watch this interview. Hold on.
You about to call him? Yeah, we gonna call him right now. I can't believe they're doing this to my
boy. He gonna get this settled.
This some bullshit here now.
It is. This is the Breakfast Club.
He done waited to the Breakfast Club. Yeah. He was up here waiting.
Everybody needs to know that one question. Los, where you at?
Right, here we go.
Hold on. Nick.
Yo.
What's up, my brother?
Yo.
What's happening?
Now listen, we got your, we got all our partners in here right now. We got DC Young Fly,
that's right. We got Chico Bean
and Carlos Miller.
Like how you said my name last.
Now Nick, is there an issue between you and Carlos? Carlos done told me you done fired him.
Yep.
Nothing happened. That's my man for life.
So why he not on the show no more?
I'm fired.
Is he lying to us, Nick?
It's a bunch of people that ain't on the show no more. Y'all know how these white folks work.
Oh, blame it on the white folks.
It's your show.
Carlos,
Nick, it's your show. And Carlos is one of the main people on there that I tune in for.
Carlos, I love Carlos. I don't know how the negotiations work with how much people get paid and how many episodes and all of that.
We ain't talking about that.
But if y'all want to talk about the money on air. We ain't talking about the money.
We're not talking about the money. It's the job. You got to get the job, then talk about the money.
He said you fired him and replaced him with Cat Williams on the Wild and Out tour.
He didn't say that.
I can understand that one, though.
I didn't say that, but.
Carlos said he ain't never want to be on the tour.
You ain't never heard me say that. The who you had answering the phone called me one day about a flight and was like, well, you need to find something else to do. And I ain't heard from y'all since.
Damn.
Yeah, I heard you say you ain't messing with that tour.
That is some bullshit. I ain't never said that. You took that somebody said.
So it's just miscommunication.
I ain't never say that.
Because I don't handle the money and all. As long as my money is right, I get to it. So the thing would have him ordered, all I know is they said Carlos wasn't messing with us. I was like, all right.
Nick, we love both of y'all.
You know damn well.
I think you need to have a conversation with Carlos on the low because he a little hurt. I couldn't believe what he was saying on the Breakfast Club this morning.
Shut up. He didn't say
nothing crazy.
He didn't say nothing crazy, man.
Don't let this Charlamagne.
So, Carlos, you want to be back on Wildin' Out?
Yeah.
Nick, come on. Bring Carlos back to Wildin' Out, Nick.
Hold up. Real situation. Nick.
Yo.
Nick, didn't I tell you I'd take a pay cut for my dog to be back on the show?
He did. He pulled me to the side. He said,
More white people we got to talk to, Nick. Did Carlos say something homophobic?
A joke too far?
Nah, not at all.
Told you. Hey, man, I got plenty of homeboys in the LMNOP community.
Well, Nick,
the community, they done added some letters.
Nick, Carlos, what's wrong with you, man?
Stop that, Carlos. We here at the Breakfast Club.
Thank you for answering the phone, Nick. We ain't mean to bother you this morning, Nick, but we just want to get to the bottom of the Carlos situation.
I know. I'm in school. Y'all calling me.
He's in school.
He at Howard.
Hey, Nick. Before you hang up, the f***ing lied on me, bro. I love you.
All right, Nick.
They just needed to have a sit down. It wasn't never a problem.
It wasn't the joke that you made about him being on a...
I never knew. Carlos didn't get fired. Carlos elevated. You lying. I ain't doing elevated.
You gonna lie to these people, Nick. I've been on your show for 9 seasons. That's all the elevation I was doing.
You owed him a phone call, Nick,
you
for did. Real.
You could have hit me, Nick. That's 9 seasons, bro.
Hey, you got my line?
I text you.
You ain't text me.
No, listen.
You a lie.
Barbershop.
I'm gonna show you the barbecue next week. Enjoy school, Nick.
See you at the barbecue, Nick. I still got my job, right? I know. We all about to be out this motherfucker. Charlamagne about to have everybody on. I'm about to be up here. Goddamn typing up the donkey of the days for this.
Yeah, we about to be on it. I'm about to take DJ Envy job. Yeah, it's the Breakfast Club. Good afternoon. Not morning. We doing the afternoon.
No, where can they see the 85 South show, man?
Right now, we're living on YouTube.
This guy's crazy.
We got a big YouTube page that's jumping out the gym. Yeah. You can pull it up on there.
Y'all on SoundCloud, too, right?
SoundCloud, iTunes, all that.
Not yet.
Then we got a couple of live shows coming up. We in Chicago November 21st.
Right.
And then we in Mobile November 18th. Then Mobile, Alabama November 25th. Another side note, Charlamagne. I be seeing the pictures you be taking after the show with your Timberlands, man. Loosen up your Tims, man. Stop when you make a pair of Timberlands look like Omega Sci-Fi probate boots. Like, you got to chill, bro. You got to untighten them boots, man. I'm like, why the Charlamagne? You're not supposed to get your size in Tims. You're supposed to go a half size down. Your Tims is longer than DJ Envy's career. It's like, it don't make no sense, man.
All right. Goodness, okay, man. Listen. Anthony, John, Carlos. We love you.
Oh, you gonna say our you gonna say our real name, Leonard? We know you, Leonard. Monique told us that, Leonard. And get your ass out of here, Leonard.
Your real name, Leonard.
Isn't the real name Leonard?
Leonard. You got Leonard. Leonard
don't got the acting no more. Leonard ties boots. That's why Leonard's skin look like that. He ties boots up so tight because that's where all the black is in his ankles. He don't want to creep back up his thigh and be back on his face again.
Leonard is a cable man on the set.
Exactly.
Leonard. What's your last name?
McKelvey.
Leonard McKelvey? If you don't get your serial killer name, man, that's not it. Leonard McKelvey was a good young boy. Until he met John, and then things went south.
The Leonard McKelvey
story.
That's Leonard
McKelvey. You're a serial killer, man.
Thank y'all for having us, man.
Now he ended the interview.
I love y'all, man.
Nigga name sounds like a Christmas song.
We ended the interview. Who y'all got great coming here? Who got us?
Leonard McKelvey.
Done for the day.
Y'all done for the day, but we can stay. Everybody go do nothing but flip houses and tie boots up tight. We can stay up in this bitch.
It's Leonard McKelvey.
This is the Breakfast Club. We don't have no breakfast.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Good morning. How do you spell McKelvey? Is it a
McKelvey? McKelvey. It's really McKelvey. It's really Leonard McKelvey, but he couldn't tell. He had to put a spin on it. It's Leonard McKelvey. Your name, Leonard McKelvey. Stop playing.
All right. Well, shout to Carlos Miller, Chico Bean, and DC Young Fly for joining us this morning. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, this couple seemed like they would be together forever, but turns out they even had the divorce papers signed. Find out what they had to say looking back, coming up on The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements. along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about some creative or strange things you've done to make money. Now, this story came from where, Yee?
Mistress Sophia. She's a dominatrix. She's 68 years old, and she charges men $150 to clean her apartment because she's a dominatrix.
All right. So we're asking 800-585-1051. Shanique.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what are some creative or strange things you've done to make some money?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I had this old white man, right? And he used to like for me to do weird stuff like stand on his thing with my heels. He paid me $500 to on him. He would pay me for me to let him like ejaculate on my feet. I've had a man tell me to collect some of my urine and he would drink it.
Oh.
So.
Wow. You want me to send this guy your way?
No, I can't. I am married with a son now.
Oh, okay.
And I definitely don't want to do any of that anymore.
Did you tell your husband this stuff, though?
How old is your son?
Wow, what are you trying to do, Charlamagne?
Well, he's still old enough to pee on somebody. Let him do it.
Look, Charlamagne, I love you so much. I just want to say that. I love you more. I love y'all.
Now, did you tell your husband any of this before y'all got married?
Yeah, he knew. He knew that, like, men used to want me to dominate them. I was never a dominatrix, but I would do, like, fulfill fetishes.
You kind of were. And you were standing on his privates with your heels. That's dominatrix behavior.
Yeah, he would like want me to stick the pointiest heels into his
Now I will say
crazy.
Now you know this is crazy. I used to sleep with an older woman and she would pay me, but I didn't ask her for money. She was just taking care of me because I was her young boy, and you made me think about that just now because she used to like to wear heels and step on my lower back.
I don't know. He used to tell me to, like...
If she stepped on your lower back, bro, she stepped lower than that, bro.
No, she stepped on my lower back.
All right.
With high heels.
All right.
That didn't hurt?
He has even...
Yeah, it hurt.
...offered me $1,000 to
do
him, y'all.
Okay.
How much did she pay you to step on your lower back?
The most she ever paid me, she used to give me like $3,000 at a time. I was her little young boy.
For like some food.
She used to give me food too. She used to give me Twinkies. She used to give me Twinkies and bags of chicken in a Ziploc bag to take home.
Bags of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hello, who's this?
Yo, good morning. Good morning.
Hey, Marcus. Now, what did you do to make some extra money, man? Some creative and strange thing.
You know what? I was selling flip flops out of the clubs.
That makes sense.
That's actually a great hustle.
That's
strange.
I went out with my homegirls, and I'm like, yo, why y'all always barefoot when y'all come to here? I'll be hurting these feet. So I was like, you know what? You know, it's a lot of stuff on the ground outside. Let me see what I can make happen. And I just caught that one down to Chinatown, you know, caught the pack for like 20, start popping for 10. So I make about 150 for the night.
That's great. Shout out to Dawn Dixon. She invented flat out heels for
that
purpose.
John.
What's up, man?
What's some creative or strange things you did to make money?
I had to get to a 9-year-old lady before.
A 90-year-old lady?
Yeah.
How much she pay you?
She paid like $150. It was back when I was a little younger, though.
150, that's it?
How she convinced you at 90? What did she say at 90 years
old? What did she look like, man?
I didn't need the money. It wasn't as bad as you think, though.
But
she
how did she come to you? How did she approach you? Like, baby, I need a little favor, baby.
He said she was hot.
Well, I had went and applied for a job at a little temporary reserve, you know, and she was up there working. She looked young to be that age.
To be 90.
How young does 90? She look, bro? How young does she look? 80?
You said what?
How young does she look?
Well, she could go for like, she's 5.
Now,
old white lady.
So you talking like Cicely Tyson beautiful, because Cicely Tyson is up in, Cicely Tyson 94, and she's a beautiful woman, so she was in that vein is what you're saying.
Well, I wish she was black, but she wasn't black.
She was
black. Oh, you disgusting.
So
you
now, what did you...
mayonnaise.
What did you do? You just had regular missionary sex?
They just gave
her... She couldn't handle right there. So I just had to give her, you know, just do the
and it was over.
She asked you to do it?
Yes, he paid her.
What did she say? You got to tell me her exact verbiage. What did she say to you, young boy?
Well, we got to talking. I really came at her because I was trying to get some money. I already know what she was on.
How did you figure that out?
Did she have ditches? Did she have all her teeth?
That's a gift I get.
So y'all tried to have sex, but she couldn't handle it because, you know, at 94, it don't work the same.
Nah, she just couldn't handle it. I was a little too rough for her.
She did?
Yeah.
Did she take out her teeth and perform oral on you?
Oh, man. Yes,
yeah,
she did.
Oh, I
you're
knew
disgusting,
it.
Man.
Is she,
John, you're disgusting.
Is she dead now?
Yes, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure she is. I mean, I'm 32 now, so.
Okay. How did it feel with those gums rubbing on you?
Stop, don't talk about a dead woman like that.
What am I asking?
Oh, man.
Did you
man.
Yeah, but I ain't
in
it, though.
I would like for you
she
to know.
She was real good, man. I think she did it before a lot.
She was 90. That wasn't her first rodeo, sir.
John, you disgusting, man.
I think you're going to heaven. I think that act alone got you into heaven, my brother. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, no judgment, guys.
Yeah, I had to do a favor, you know, give her something great for she left out of here. Man.
You made somebody's great grandma's day.
John, just one last question. Did you eat the booty, John?
Hell no.
Oh, that's a hell no, nah, right? But you said anything else.
Who do you think I am?
Goodbye, John. What's the moral of this story,
the
man?
Nerve. I don't know.
No moral of the story. It's just that there's some people out here doing some strange things for some change out here in these streets, bro.
Goodness gracious.
I'm sitting there trying to think what that 90-year-old pom-pom would be like.
You still thinking about that?
It got to be guys out there with those kind of fetishes that only want to sleep with an old-ass woman, right?
They have a whole porn category for it.
What's that called?
I think it's called Golden something. I'm going to tell you right now.
Golden Era Porn? What is that?
Lord have mercy, boy. Man.
Keep it locked. We have more coming up next. It's The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. And Charlamagne, you got a positive note for the people?
Yes, sir. Change your perceptions and your emotions will follow.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.